cuss then? No. You know, that's not being a disciple anyway. But I think a lot of people have felt, and I've heard people tell me this, that they felt that if they had cussed and Jesus came back the moment, they've been a Christian for 20 years and they cursed and Jesus came back that moment right after they cursed, Jesus said, well, you had it up until then, but I can't let you in. Sorry. Now, we laugh at that, but a lot of Christians, we live that way sometimes. We are so afraid. It's like, it's a done deal. Let me ask you this. If your child had gone through all the stuff that they go through when they were 18, and they said their first curse word, would you go, ah, sorry, I got to kick you out of the family? Who would do that? Raise your hand. Nobody do that. You might hit them on their head and say you're a knucklehead, but you wouldn't toss them out of the family, would you? No. Why do we think God is any different? When we mess up, because of the blood of Jesus is washing away our sins, when we mess up, yes, we do need to confess sin. Yes, we do need to apologize. But say we commit a sin and we forgot to apologize, or we forgot to say, I repent of this. We forgot it. Something else happened. God is not going to say, sorry, you didn't say the magic formula. We're still his children. Now, he may get us in a head nookie and do that, you know, goof, but we're still his children. And I think we need to realize that's what the sacrifice of Jesus did. Chapter 10, starting in verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated yearly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? Now, we'll stop there for a second. Isn't that a great question? If that works, why are they still out there making the sacrifices? And I'm sure they went, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, why are they still doing that? And you know, this is true for you. If a guilty conscience would make you clean, why do you still have one? It did not work. It didn't work because that's not the reality with God. A guilty conscience is taken away by the blood of Jesus and by his forgiveness. But if that'll get you into heaven, you know, bottle that sucker and sell it. It does not work. Let's read on. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But these sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Skip down to verse 8. First he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here am I, I've come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You remember, Rich, I thought it was so cool, Richard, talking about Jesus being holy. But over in the book of Hebrews, it mentions 4 or 5 times that we are made holy. That we are made holy to be like our brother. Now you think about that, that's a pretty cool thing. Because you think about Jesus being holy. And he even talks about Jesus being made holy. Which is, that's a whole mind-blowing thing right there. But it talks about that we are made holy. Now is the process through yet? No. Will God be working on my holiness until the day I die? Yes, he will. Sure he will. But that's okay. But we're being made holy. Verse 11. Day after day. Now, let me stop here for a minute. How many of y'all done this? You've been reading the Bible, and you come across a verse you'd read 100 times before, and it looked like during the night somebody wrote something else in that you've never seen for 20 years. Does that happen to everybody? That is so cool. I just love it. I was reading this the other day when I was working out in San Antonio. I was reading Hebrews for my quiet time, and I read this, and I went, I think, did someone sneak in my room and write this in while I was asleep last night? I don't remember reading about it, thinking about it. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now think about this. They're saying, do I go with Judaism or do I stick with Christianity? The Judaistic high priest, they're standing day after day. And what does it say Jesus is doing? He's sitting down. Now, I'm kind of a lazy guy. I like the sitting down. I don't like standing like that. So which one do you think I'm going to gravitate towards? The sit down guy, right? I think that's why the whole Sabbath rest thing came up, because he's preparing them for this. So Jesus says, why don't you go with the sit down guy? Now notice this. Verse 13, since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Now I got this image in my mind, and y'all may not think it's funny, but I thought it was pretty funny. I have this image in my mind of Jesus after his sacrifice. He sat down in a big lazy boy lounger and brought one of those ottomans up and propped his feet up on it, because his deal is done. But how about those temple priests? What are they doing? Still standing, still making sacrifices. And Jesus over here back in the lazy boy lounger taking a nap because his work is done. Now, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. I just really had that image in my mind. And I think we need to see, who do you want to go with? Go with the guy who's resting. Don't go with the A personality over here that can never make enough sacrifices to get the job done. Go with the guy who's in the lounger with his feet, his footstool up, and he's taking it easy until God decides to end everything. Now, I hope that makes you think that Christianity is difficult. It's challenging to be a disciple. It's hard to be a disciple. But in all the great ways to live, it is the easiest way to live. And it really is. You know, I was sitting there talking to that lady last night. I thought, wow, how hard is that? You know, for your husband to run away right before your 21st wedding anniversary with a younger woman who's been married 5 times before. I'm living on easy street compared to that. This past month, I've been trained out in Texas. And thank God my hard labor is over with. I'm through. I don't have to go back. At least today, I don't have to. But I had all these people in my classes, and a lot of them were young. A lot of them were 20 years. Maybe I had one 19-year-old. Everybody's 20, but it's in their early 20s. And then we had some older people in the class, like my age older, who were going to start answering the phone for Verizon Wireless. And it was amazing how those people who were younger, how their lives were so stinking miserable. It's awful. That the only thing they could talk about that they would do after the training was over with was go somewhere and get drunk. That was it. What else are you going to do? Well, we might go to another bar and drink some more. But that's it. Now, in your right mind, which is more attractive? That or what we get to do as Christians? Just think the drink through. Think it through. What we do is so much more exciting. It's so much more hopeful. When I was out in San Antonio, I went to the San Antonio church where Mike Tolliver preaches. That's where I would go when I was there. And I saw Irve. He's moved there now. In fact, Irve, I said, how you doing? He said, great. He says, don't tell Richard, but I have on one of his shirts. And he's wearing one of Richard's shirts. I guess Richard he knew about it. So they were, you know, they were talking about, you know, sacrificing. Golly, I forgot where my mind was going with this. Uh-oh, here we go. Senior moment. What was I talking about? Sacrifice, going to the church out there. Oh, yeah. I know what it was now. Where am I? Is this Romans class? But they'd done a television thing they'd been to before Mark Ottweiler moved back to the United States. They'd done kind of one last show. CNN had gone over there and was doing this clip on AIDS in Africa. And they had two people that they were talking to about with. Mark Ottenweller, and Oprah Winfrey. And when they talked to Mark Ottenweller about it, he knew what was going on. He could quote any statistics, but you could see in his eyes he was so stinking hopeful. And then they brought Oprah Winfrey on. And don't Oprah fans get mad at me. This is just the truth. She was just mad about the AIDS epidemic. And just wanted to be furious about, I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of this. She had a big old frown on her face. And it was so different in the way they looked at it. And I thought, Mark Ottenweller, go with him. Because he knows it's a problem, but he's hopeful. She knows it's a problem too. She's just mad. And I think that's what the Hebrew writer keeps telling them, bringing up the sacrifice of Jesus. Just compare the sacrifices. Go with the one that provides the most hope. That clears your guilty conscience. That is not offered again and again, but is offered one time, once for all. Turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and we're going to close it out. And next week we're going to start in chapter 10, so you can be sure and read that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, if we don't do anything stupid and don't quit, that's the Greek translation of walking in the light. It's amazing what you can say as long as you say, oh, that's the Greek translation. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And I don't think he's talking there about us. I think he's talking about God. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, I do know this about the Greek word purify. I'm not making this up. It was like, the best way we understand it, it's like windshield wiper on a rainy day. And you put it on, what is it when you put it on when it just does it every once in a while? Intermittent, yeah. Put it on intermittent. And so, without me knowing it, I did this over here. Shh, it's gone. I did this over here. I forgot I did that. Shh, it's gone. Oh, I forgot to tell God last night I was sorry. I hope I don't die tonight. Shh. It's gone. The blood of Jesus continually purifies us from all sin. The last cornerstone's been pulled out. No need for a covenant, no need for a sacrifice, no need for the other things we talked about. All you need is Jesus. Thank y'all for coming.